following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office here in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you so very much for downloading, streaming, tuning in, whatever it is that you're doing to get this program. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that. This is episode 252. Great show for you here this time out, too. We'll be hanging out with a brand new act called Brother Boulevard. It's Kyle Roberts and Gabriel Brown. We had a fun time with these guys, and we'll chat with them a little bit later on. So there's that. You may now call me, I suppose, Individual One. If you've been following this madness,
careful, bro. You don't want to get into, like, you know, politics and stuff, because people like you shouldn't talk politics.
Shut up. You know, to a certain extent, but here's how I feel about this whole thing. We've talked politics before. You have to know that it's there. You know, we're in a situation here. The president of the United States has been implicated in two, not one, but two felonies. And now there's all this hand wringing going, the hell's going on? Can we indict a sitting president? Can we do that? Now what'll happen is they're going to set up some charges on this guy if it turns out all this information is true. And the second he steps out of office, they'll indict him. That's how that works. Now, getting him out may be the issue. Impeachment, perhaps. Certainly, from what I've heard so far, everything seems to be an impeachable offense. But, you know, that's all speculation at this point. From my point of view, from, you know, sitting where it is that I sit, it's amusing. It's entertaining. You know,
it's constitutional crisis, bro. How could you say it's entertaining?
Because it's funny. I think it's hysterical. Our society has not broken down into mass chaos. There isn't any of this business going on. It's all, you know, we're all kind of hanging in here. We're just sort of watching with somewhat of amusement here. And I know that there are those who support the president of the United States. I get it. I'm not one of them. It's just the way I am. I don't do that. I'm not into that sort of thing. You know, I like my presidents to be somebody who is presidential. Call me old fashioned, but you know, granted, yeah, the guy's out there saying and doing stuff. And I think what was really telling is when Rex Tillerson just recently spoke about it, he said, you know, I had to really rein the guy in because, you know, he would say, I want to do certain things and this is how I want to get it done. And Tillerson would go, I see what you're wanting to do here, but you can't do that because it's illegal. He doesn't care. That's the problem. The individual one doesn't really, you know, he doesn't care. He doesn't get it. He doesn't read his briefings. He doesn't pay attention to what all is going on over there. He's just, you know, occupying the space. He doesn't get it. And now he's learning a lesson about how this works. And this should be a lesson for all of us. Never bring in a business person like that to run a country. It doesn't work. It's not a good look. And clearly a guy like Individual One who has, you know, who's not very good at being a businessman. Let's just put it that way. I mean, he's not good at all. So, yes, with amusement, I'm sitting back and I'm watching this unfold. You know, I have my speculations about certain things. You know, oh, and on that, and let me bring this up because I know some of you have been sharing this little turd on the social media. They say, go ahead and remove him. Have you seen this? You remove Individual One from the White House. Pence becomes president. He pardons Individual One, makes him his vice president, and then resigns. And then Individual One is president again. That doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. Y'all need a civics lesson. Y'all need Jesus. Y'all need to go back to school, learn your government, learn all your other stuff, you know, pay attention to the way I don't like the rules, man, because the rules they're against people. They're against fine Americans like myself. Yeah, it's not a buffet. That's the same idea with the people that look at the Bible and go, I'm just going to cherry pick this because most of this doesn't involve me, but this part does. And people look at the laws the same way. I've heard people that said, you know, when confronted, you do realize that the speed limit here is 35 miles an hour. And they'll say, Oh, that's just a suggestion. I'm sure that stop sign is just a suggestion, too. I'm sure that police officer writing you a freaking ticket is just suggesting that you pay attention to the laws. So, yeah, it's about time that we all began to just sort of look at this with the jaundiced and cynical eyes that deserve this. Part of me believes that that individual one has some severe mental deficiencies going on there, and I make it a rule not to, you know, poke fun at people like that. But I also have a pretty strict rule about not being around Nazis either. So, you know, there is that. Right on, kids. Coming up, Brother Boulevard will be here. It's Kyle and Gabe. Before then, I got to tell you about our friends over at thegreenmancbd.com. You want the CBD oil, you want the hemp oil, you want the stuff, you want to start feeling better. And thegreenmancbd.com is your source for that. You've got questions, they've got answers. You can go over there to their website, thegreenmancbd.com, click on the menu, and you'll see the FAQ, the frequently asked questions. You have some questions about what this, you've heard an awful lot about it. You have questions. Will I pass a drug test if I take this stuff? Does it actually help in taking care of pain? Is it not psychosomatic? I mean, it's all that stuff is there. And if you don't know anything about it, take a look at it. I swear, everybody I have ever spoken to about CBD oil have all said the same thing. That it helps them. It makes them feel better. My wife loves it. She swears by it. And you can too. Go to thegreenmancbd.com. Get you some. They got free shipping on all orders over $50. It's just like that. They'll ship anywhere in the United States of America. Go there. Look out. They got reputable distributors that handle their products. These are good people. And it's very reasonable. Thegreenmancbd.com. Order some today. Start feeling better tomorrow. Coming up, it is Brother Boulevard right here from Radioland. Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink. Bundle up, stay close to this box, wherever it is that you're tuning us in from, and enjoy the program, because tonight, kids, we've got a lot of fun. Kyle is here. Hey, Kyle. How are
you? Hey, what's going on?
Glad to have you in the room, and Gabe is here.
Hey.
Kyle Roberts duo, I guess is what it is. Do you guys have a name?
Yes, we do, actually.
Are you going to make this big announcement here?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, we're actually working under the name Brother Boulevard.
Brother Boulevard.
Like the street?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. Out there, way out in East Memphis?
Yeah, we drive by it all the time. It's like, wow, one day we would drive by it. And we're like, wow, that would make a pretty cool band
Brother
name.
Boulevard, yeah.
And then one day just dawned on me, well, why don't we just use that?
Why don't we just
do it? Why not? Who else is going to? Everything's super easy then, yeah, right? Cover, just take a picture of the street sign.
Well,
right?
There you go. That's the, at least that's the first one taken care of.
That's all of them. We'll just do a little slightly different color.
Oh, there's that.
A bit.
Yeah. Already in the chat room, they're chatting about you.
Uh-oh. It's like...
Eva says, hi, Kyle.
That's my mom.
Yeah, it's Savannah, Georgia, and your mother are here on the couch.
Okay.
Georgia says, hi, Kyle. Mom number two is watching.
Gotcha.
Your mom says, did you remember to clean your underwear and to eat a snack? You know what happens when you get nervous.
I have Ritz crackers in my coat if you need some.
She said, yeah, mom is on some medicine right now from surgery. She shouldn't have access to a computer.
She had a tumor right here, big old.
On her jaw, really?
Yeah, big old tumor, parietoid gland. It's just out of
control. Oh, God, like, love you, Eva.
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest, she just pop it like a zit?
Is awesome. she got that taken out, so she's on, like, the best drug.
Oh, I bet she is. This show's going to sound great to her tonight.
She calls me all the time, random times in the day, and just the wildest stuff you'll ever hear. It's just random.
Hey, Kyle, you know what I like about eggs?
Yeah, she'll video call me, and that's the worst.
Oh, oh God.
I hate video calling.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And she absolutely insists on video calling. So I'll be laying in bed at 11 o'clock at night, and I'll get a call, and it's like, what do you want? Oh, open the phone, you know, turn it on, you know, video call, whatever. I'm laying there, and there she is just sitting in her computer chair, and she's like, why are you laughing at me?
She's self-conscious.
I'm not laughing at. Well, she's got a droopy face right now because of the nerves. Yeah. She got her face cut off and put back on again, right? So she's going to have a little bit of a droopy face.
It's going to take a minute.
It's just a great time. It's just fantastic.
Ava, we love you at Radio Memphis.
No, we really do. We love you. And all I have to say to you, they're all on the couch. Just leave a little room for Jesus, all right?
Leave a little room for Jesus. We had, I need to take care of this. So we had originally on our schedule tonight, Chris Pitts in the Memphis Prime. But unfortunately, Chris had to cancel this evening. So, but thank you guys for coming in on such short notice to come fill in tonight.
Pretty short notice, but yeah, no, we're up to...
Well, we wanted to have you back in here because I saw you two perform at the Road to the IBC thing. I was not a judge.
Yeah.
Although I was judging everybody in the room. And I was absolutely astounded, just blown away by the improvement you've done with yourself as far as playing and songwriting and singing. You've grown so much, and it did it in such a short amount of time. You're doing a great job, man.
It's a lot of just banging my head against a wall. And
yeah, it's woodshedding, as they call it. Yeah,
exactly.
Spending some extra time with that guitar, yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, when I get home from work, nothing else to do, just sit down, play, and try to write something. In fact, it's kind of funny. It was pretty short notice. I think I got the message from you at like 5 or like...
Because I think we started looking right around 3
pretty
o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock,
o'clock.
Yeah.
I thought I was in trouble at first. You just typed just like Kyle. I was like, what did I do?
Call me immediately.
Yeah, like what's going on?
Who did I murder? Yeah.
No, we really appreciate it. Thank you guys.
No,
it means a lot to us to have that happen. I mean,
yeah, it's actually pretty funny you called because I was actually going to go home tonight once he got off work. I was planning on writing some songs actually. You guys are interrupting me.
Well, we just crushed your complete groove, didn't
that's
we?
Okay. No, that's okay.
That's all right.
That was great. Honestly,
there's nothing better to do.
Yeah. You're still trying to write a song. We got about half an hour that we had to leave. Like, we need a song. Let's write now.
Oh, for tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this will be fun tonight.
Yeah.
This will be good.
I'll figure something out.
I know you guys, we've got you booked into Studio C here.
The 12th.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to make a record with you
guys.
That's
right.
We're going to get you hooked up with Jason, and it'll be a big time. And
that's right. It's going to be a great time.
It'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, when I saw you perform there at Club 152 that night, it really struck me how well you two have come together and gelled. Your playing, your songwriting, the way you carried yourself on stage was just tremendous. I couldn't be more proud of you.
Well, I think I attribute that most to being under immense amounts of pressure.
Oh yeah,
pressure can do that to you. Yeah.
Well, all right. So, leading up to that night.
Yeah. Because there were two nights, right?
There were two nights.
It was a Tuesday and a Wednesday, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And leading up to that, I had signed up for it. Right? I was going on and had no idea what I was going to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to bring Gabe and we're going to do this. I don't know if I'm going to do it by myself. I don't even know what songs I'm going to do. Because I didn't really
You had 20 minutes to fill on a Tuesday night. You go with it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Because it's like, I need to find the best original songs I have. And I did that and can't do it. Process of elimination found like two that were great. I was like, man, that's not enough original songs. I can't be working with two of my best. I need, and so we
we'll
spent,
extend the solos a bit.
We spent a good solid. Well, we had like a week maybe to decide. To decide what we were going to do. And we actually wrote probably the best song we've ever written. That was the first song that I've had a part in that I was proud of.
Yeah.
That was 3 days before we went on.
3 days before we went on, we were sitting outside on our patio, just kicking back a few drinks, trying to like...
So this is like on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pad of paper, and it's like, hey, we got to write something. Just something. I don't care what it is. At this point,
it could be a dog.
It could be Sesame Street, for all I care. I don't care. And so I came up with this pretty neat guitar line. We were coming up with some lyrics. They were pretty okay, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they scoot by, right? And then what was it? It was like the third line in that song.
No, it was the one that rounded out the first down.
Yeah, right? The verse. Yeah, it was the end of the first verse. We couldn't figure out a line at all.
Yeah.
So we're just banging our heads against the table. Like, what are we? We can't write a song. Then somehow, I don't know how it happened, we came up with a really, completely turned the song around. Like it was like kind of like a happy song.
Hey, that's where, like, it works though. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it wasn't necessarily
song,
happy.
It was the line that defined the song.
Sure.
Yeah, because it went from being just like, you know, oh no, my baby's gone, oh whatever, to like, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
Which is not. I don't condone those actions. I don't know where that came from, but
yeah, but
man,
for a song though, it's great.
Man. Man, that was cool. Yeah. So, came up with that 3 days before we had to go on.
Yeah.
Didn't have much of a chance to rehearse it.
I think we practiced it once on a kit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got on stage and we're like, oh, man. We're either going to do really good or we're going to suck. It's like, it's going to be one of two things.
Well, that's how it kind of is. There's no real middle ground in here. It's either going to be good or really bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after you guys had played, I stepped outside. I was talking to some other friends out there, and they were all talking about you. You know, about how well you were sounding, and so it was a good set.
I
was kind of surprised you didn't advance any further than you did. Nothing against those who got it, but for your first time out, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. I was really, really, and honestly, it was kind of nice to have not placed in a way. Because
how so?
We stepped off stage that night, right, when they decided all the winners.
That was the Wednesday night. Yeah,
we stepped off stage, and there was not a person in there who didn't come up to us and said, hey, we thought you guys did really well and thought you guys should have gone a little bit farther than you did.
That was the night that
You included. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just really reassuring. I was like, yeah, no, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
I think that's...
It's not complicated, fellas. No. It really isn't, you know. You just give the audience what they kind of want,
exactly.
You know.
So that was kind of cute. Yeah, we're on the right track. Let's keep going.
And you had that Gretsch
that exact guitar. Yeah,
which sounds great.
I love that thing.
It's a gorgeous little guitar.
I'm a Fender Stratocaster guy through and through.
Yeah,
I have one that I play religiously, and I wish it sounded like that.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's wonderful.
I wish it sounded like that because that guitar.
Is it like a parlor guitar?
Yeah, it was. It's a Gretsch Jim Dandy.
Yeah.
It's like a cheap $100 guitar you can buy at Guitar Center.
Or at a pawn shop near you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Well,
you got it plugged in. So. Yeah.
What happened was I did IBC last year. I was the youth guy.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I brought that guitar with it. It was still acoustic. And I thought, you know, they'll have the amenities to be able to mic up an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared for that. Not being the case. Right? Because I was just so comfortable with this instrument. I was like, I need to use this because I'm not comfortable.
Because you got the show put together with that guitar. Yeah.
And I was like, so I need to use this. They'll have a sound guy. They'll know how to mic up the guitar. I didn't.
Putting your faith in the wrong pocket is what you did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I got done with that show. I was really bummed out. I was like, man, I had to use somebody else's guitar. And props to that dude for letting me use his National Resonator. It was pretty sweet. Turned out sounding pretty good.
That's a fun guitar to play, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so I got home. I was like, man, that sucks. I kind of wanted to use that. So it got to me. I was like, man, I should just throw a pickup in there. Dug around my closet, found a box full of old guitar parts. Piece of plexiglass that I painted black.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it out, shaped.
Popped the pickup in there, wired it up,
Wired it up, and it's the best sounding electric guitar I've ever had.
It does. It sounds great.
It projects so well.
It does, and it's a comfortable instrument for you to play. It's the right
size.
Yeah,
it looks cool too.
It does. It's
good
looking guitar.
You can't get up really high and do the fancy stuff. I don't do much of that, anyways.
No,
really. So,
well, on that then, let's take it for a ride.
Yeah.
You want to do that? Let's get a tune in here, and then we'll grab a break and whatnot. But let's get them started. We got you all night, so you know, don't hit us with your show closer.
All right. This song is called Corn Cob Pipe. You've heard it before.
I have. I heard you perform it that night. Yes.
This is going to be on the record.
Corn Cob Pipe. Yeah.
I've grown old, tired and gray. I just spend my lonely days sitting at home, crying all night, just a smoking my corn cob pipe. Where'd you go if you stayed? We could have spent our lonely days sitting at home, crying all night, just smoking my corn cob pipe. All right. Song my cup is not off there. Might just be, have had enough. Might just be, I've had too much. Sitting here, drinking my beer, trying to forget how I loved you, dear. 3 years gone, all alone. Now this house just ain't no home.
Me. That good job. No, I like that corn cob pipe. Yeah. That is awesome. Awesome. Awesome job. Kyle Roberts, Gabriel Brown here in the studio. Brother Lane, is that right?
Brother Boulevard.
Yeah, my apologies.
That's okay.
It's
the first time anybody's ever heard about it, so.
Well, yeah, no, you came up with it on the ride over? Is that how
we came up with it a while ago, but we haven't ever told anybody. It's kind of like in the back of our minds.
Yeah, well, there's that, yeah.
One of those names that flutter around, like Stunt Dolphin.
Stunt Dolphin, Elastic Screwdriver.
Yeah.
It's going to be our punk band.
Yeah, it should be, really.
We have a few creative names.
Yeah. why not?
I'm blanking on them right now.
You know Jethro Tull, right?
Yeah.
They wound up settling on that name because they were so bad that they just, to get gigs in England, they had to change their name every week.
Really?
And when they finally got good and had a hit, they were stuck with Jethro Tull. And Jethro Tull was the British inventor that came up with a British version of the cotton gin.
Okay.
So, and nice. That's, they were just going through an encyclopedia, and they came up with names until that one, and then they got stuck with it. And,
well, it's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah, no.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, until everybody said, well, which one of you is Jethro? You know, because, you know. Exactly. So you got to be careful how you name your act. You know?
Yeah. It's not like we're going around naming things dangerously.
Well, no. There's nothing wrong with Brother Boulevard.
I think of plenty worse things.
No. I think that works out fine. but why not?
Why not?
If it doesn't work, then you can change it.
Yeah. It's like, what's another one? Sucky bubble.
Sucky bubble. Yeah.
There you go.
That'll work.
I can see that on a shirt.
Yeah. Why not?
It sounds like a.
You know, I'd go see him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you want to, you know.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, sucky bubble.
You got to remember, you know, as Diana says around here, your band is your brand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And your brand is your business.
Right.
So, you know, whatever you're going to work with it well. Don't use the Brother font from the Brother Typewriter Company.
No. No. No Comic Sans.
No Comic Sans. No.
No Papyrus.
No, and the one that the metal guys always use, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Stencil.
Stencil, I think, yeah, is what that is, yeah. Oh. It's not bad at all. We were talking upstairs about the IBC. Of course, we'll be here the coldest week of the year in January. Third week of January? Third week of January, and you're going to be down there. You're not performing in it,
no,
but you're going to go and check out the act.
Check it out.
Well, it's a good networking opportunity.
Yeah, it's just cool to see everybody there. It's a big turnout and everything.
Lots of amazing acts.
You get to meet a lot of people, and what I did last year, I had a lot of fun doing. It's just everybody I talked to, collecting business cards.
Oh yeah,
and I have this cigar box, just full to the brim of business cards. I'm going to get me another cigar box.
Yeah.
Do that again.
You never know who you're going to meet.
You never know. I met Stevie Van Zandt last year.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Did he see you perform?
I don't know. I told him where and when I was performing. I don't know if he showed up, but I shook his hand.
That's cool. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, that's the thing about this thing is that everybody down there seems to be pretty cool. You know, they're all, there's that whole fear of meeting your heroes, you know. Yeah.
They're all just people.
They're really all people, yeah, you know, and there's going to be some assholes and there's going to be some really genuine folk in there. Thankfully, in the blues genre, most everybody's pretty nice.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I found, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I haven't met too many people who I'd call assholes. I mean, there's maybe a handful.
There's always a handful. Yeah,
they know who they are.
Sure, they are. Yeah. Well, some of them don't. They just think they're pretty cool. I mean, there's enough. You spend enough time in this business, and you'll, you know.
So you're one of those.
Oh yeah. I kid.
I'd like to say you're more honest than an asshole.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes being honest can be misconstrued for
it me. Can be, yeah. I like to think of myself not just so much honest as just being reasonable, you know. There you and there's go. A lot of honesty that goes with being reasonable. You
sure,
know, you know,
sure.
It has to be.
Yeah,
it
has to be.
Yeah. Well, there's that, you know. And that's the thing. What we pride ourselves here, at least with this show, is that we don't bring in anybody that sucks.
Oh, thank you,
thank you.
I talk to him. He's the one that books it. Marks
him. Got the suck button.
I do have the suck button over here because I can you know twist that knob till it hurts.
Do you?
Well, on that, how about another tune from you guys?
Another tune? Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah. We're gonna do. Well, I'm gonna do. There's not really drums for this.
You get to sit one out
behind the kit and look pretty.
Well, or as Howard Grimes says, you got to sit back there and look stupid.
make a silly face. Oh, I was taking a trip down to Avalon, Mississippi. Which
doesn't
exist anymore, really. It's
really?
Just
what happened
of,
to it?
Well, it's where John Hurt was.
Aha. Mississippi John Hurt.
He's my absolute favorite bluesman.
Yes.
And that's where he, you know, lived. You know, one of his most famous songs, Avalon, my hometown. So, you know, that'd be a cool pilgrimage for me to make as a blues musician, pay homage to my favorite blues musician. And well, it's kind of sad to see because, you know, we missed it at first because it's just, you know.
It's a wide spot in the road, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's you're driving down the highway, and then there's this farm that belongs to somebody's property. And so it doesn't look like there's a town back there or anything. But you go back into the woods there, you kind of just, you know, trespass.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? Nobody's sure. Home. Yeah, you just walk back into the woods.
It's a good way to get shot. Yeah.
Old buildings and everything, and I think they've turned his house into a museum. A little bit, but you have to like call.
Yeah.
The family, and they'll show you around. It was pretty cool. But yeah, no, I wrote this on the way down there.
Yeah.
It's called Mississippi Bound.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, Mississippi bound. Oh, Lord, Mississippi bound. Oh, Lord, Mississippi bound. And I ain't gonna stop or turn around. I'm too poor for this big town. Yes, too poor for this big town. Some people have money to push around, but I'm just too poor for this big town. Stop and stare. People look, they stop and stare. The people look, they stop and stare, saying, what's this man doing here? Stop and turn around. No, I ain't gonna stop and turn around.
Very nice. Very, very nice. That's nice. That's good.
It's kind of pretty.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty. Yeah, it's got a nice feel to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind
of. Well, it's got that Mississippi John Hurt vibe to it.
In that style. That's a style I.
Yeah, just put that anywhere.
That's a style I would. Oh, it's seen worse.
Don't worry.
It's seen worse. No, that's a style I'm constantly trying to, you know, achieve because I listen to his music so much. But it sounds so simple what he does when you listen to things like Candyman and. It sounds so simple.
It's not though.
Oh my God, no.
It's horribly complicated.
Well, like okay, yeah, the chords are simple: G, C, A. Whatever. Yeah, I can do that. Sure. Put the guitar on that.
But there's six other strings you're dealing with, yeah.
Well, and he's got his hands in this crazy syncopation, this pattern that is just alternating between strings for the bass notes. And it's just so much more complex than what it sounds like. And it's beautiful.
It's almost as if he's playing a piano.
Almost, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When I first discovered him, I noticed that as well. It's just there's something very special about the way the man played.
And it kind of gets you wondering, like, how? Because, I mean, I can't imagine he had much of a musical education, right?
Right.
So that stuff he's gathered through osmosis and developed his own technique on doing, it's just...
It's amazing.
It's amazing to me how it's like, how that can manifest in that way.
It is kind of funny how that works.
Yeah.
Well, and I've noticed too that since I've known you, too, your finger picking has gotten a lot better. And I know that takes a lot of time, but you seem to advance through that fairly quickly.
Well, I've been hanging around
people to do it.
A
right?
Dude.
Yeah.
Sean Apple.
Oh. Oh, that degenerate.
That degenerate. Yeah.
No, he's lovely.
I hang around. He's
incredible.
He's my big brother.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He is a sweet, sweet guy.
He has me painting the side of his house tomorrow.
Well, there you go.
I've been working for him for a few weeks.
Well, if he's going to give you the gift of finger picking, then painting the side of his house is not a bad trade-off.
Right, so it's something I've noticed because I don't actively try, you know. It's like, okay, I see him doing that. I'm going to try to emulate that. It's just something that I've noticed myself doing is going into more of those styles that I'm watching and kind of picking up. along the way without noticing.
Osmosis.
It. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So he hasn't really physically taught you anything then?
He pretty much told me there's not much he can teach me, pretty much. He said it in a more Sean Apple way.
Yeah.
You know, as you
I can't
probably
contribute to you.
Pretty much. So it's been a lot of education just through being around that and him throwing me up on stage at random times and just unprepared.
Over there at 152?
Yeah. And wherever he might be playing, yeah. So yeah, it's been a good time, really. But I'm pretty proud of myself and how far I've gotten with the finger picking. It's
there's an art to it. It, you know, because yes, when when any guitar player who aspires to play like that, mm-hmm, and they watch another guitar player, and I know you've done this, yeah, and you're sitting there watching, you go, oh, I think I could probably figure that out. And then you go home and you sit down with a guitar and you go, what the hell am I doing? I'm all thumbs, you know.
Yeah, it's what am I doing with my hands? And so it comes to the point, it's like, why even try?
Well, that's the key is you got to turn your right hand off and let it do what it's going to do. And that, the whole idea behind what is, I think, is called dead thumb, where the thumb is carrying your bass line for you all on its own.
Yep.
And it's acting independently of the other four digits on your hand.
And it's just completely absent-minded, too.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole thing between, you know, how when Robert Johnson had disappeared.
Right.
And took off into Arkansas for, I guess it was several months, 3 months, maybe, mm-hmm, not even that long. And he came back. He was a horrible player before then, and then he came back, and he just took to it very naturally, and everybody thought he'd made the deal with the devil to do that off, you know. But and you're sort of the same line. Not that you've made a deal with the devil, but...
Says who?
Oh, there's that. Yeah. Says who. Slaying chickens over the apartment later. But watching you play, you seem very comfortable in that. You know?
It's just doing it.
It's repetition.
It's just is what it is. I mean,
there's no, I guess there is a wrong way to do it, but there's no
wrong way. I've seen a lot of wrong ways to do it. I've done it the wrong way before.
Well, you know, whatever works and what doesn't horribly suck is the key there, you know.
I think for music, whatever sounds good to you is what's going to be the best that you can do.
Sure.
Right. So, like, even if it is technically the wrong way to do something, it's kind of...
Well, there's no book written about it. I mean, there are books written about it, but there's no correct method, if you would. I mean, some would argue that. But like you said, if it works for you, you know, some guys may say you don't ever use your ring finger and your little finger.
But, yeah.
You know, tell that to the classical guys, the flamenco guys.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, they use every...
They use every...
They're borrowing
their
fingers
body,
from the front row to make that some of that stuff happen. You know.
Yeah. So.
Well, like you said, whatever works.
Whatever works. Man, I've been told several times. Well, it's kind of funny because I was about, let's say, 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And my friend was doing guitar lessons. I had just picked up a guitar, right? It wasn't even my own. It was given to me. It was just like the first day.
Yeah.
Right. And he was like, well, why don't you go to guitar lessons with me? And I had stuff sort of figured out, right? And it sounded good to me. And this is the moment I realized that I was like, yeah, this is going to be something I do for life. It's when that teacher told me, Carl, you're never going to learn how to play guitar doing things the way you do them. You got to read the music. You got to do all the stuff. Yeah.
Bullshit.
That's how I want to do it.
Exactly.
I do it my way. Like Frank Sinatra. Yeah. I did it my way.
Or like what you just mentioned with John Hurt. He
did it his way.
He did it his way.
And it's so unique.
And you can't technically teach that.
No. I think...
Yeah, there's a part of it you probably could if you're an accomplished musician.
Yeah.
But a guy like Mississippi John Hurt, for God's sake, the stuff that he was doing blows people away to this day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
In fact, I just picked up a CD. It was some dude in 1963. It's called Discovery.
Uh-huh.
And it's John Hurt. But it's this dude in 1963 goes over to John Hurt's little house over in Avalon or Grenada or whatever.
Where you were trespassing, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know me.
I'm paying attention.
Yeah, no, he brought the recording, had like full-fledged interviews and stuff, and they got to talking about some of that stuff. And he said he just watched some old dude play guitar and play music, old folk songs, and that's how he threw just watching and being there. And, you know, I've noticed something that's kind of really charming is that... music in the South is not just, you know, like up north. It's like, okay, you're a band, you play music, and that's the only time you do it. It's a way of life.
Sure,
it's a way of life. You go to church, music, relaxing on the front porch, music. I mean, so I suppose when you're in that environment, it totally makes sense that you would be able to pick up like that, you know?
Oh, well, sure. It's yeah. It's like if you ever tried to learn a foreign language, they tell you once you learn the basics, you have to immerse yourself into that language to really gather.
Really understand it.
You know, watch the television shows in that language, read books in it, you know, listen to the music. Same thing,
yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Definitely not like how I grew up.
Well, that's what dragged you here to this area anyway. Yeah.
I'd say, yeah. That is about...
You've been here, what, now, 5, 6 years now?
2 years.
2 years? Seems like you've been here a lot longer than that.
It feels like I've been here a lot longer than that.
Well, that's Memphis, man. Time kind of takes on a completely different...
It hasn't been 2 years yet, has it?
Not yet. In January.
2 years in January.
Yeah.
I'll be damned. Boy, you've come a long way in that short amount of time.
A few miles.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Mile and a half, maybe.
Mile and a half. Hey, just down the street a pitch.
Yeah, just about.
Right on. Well, let me grab this break, and we'll have more with these guys, right? Okay.
I'm glad you got to see Ruby.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to see Ruby.
I got to play with Ruby.
Oh, yeah.
They all came down. You had not lived. You weren't.
I wasn't living here yet.
Yeah, but they came down and played at the benefit, and that was special. So glad
you're and I got the privilege to meet Ruby way back in like 2015.
Yeah.
So a good friend of mine, JP Olson, lives up in Wisconsin, was a singer down here for some time. Mm-hmm. She's the friends, right? So yeah. I got the privilege of meeting her way back when. And that was
That's special.
That was real special to me.
That's
yeah.
so cool. Just so good you're able to have that.
Yeah.
That's important. That's all part of the education.
Yeah. And I didn't play with it then. That was a long time ago. But I did also meet, what's his name? I'm blanking on his name. The trumpet guy from the Bar Case.
Ben Colley.
Man, we hung out with Ruby and Ben Colley. They took us over to the VFW, wherever, and just so they could sing karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was way too young to be in that place. They were smoking and drinking. I was playing pool with some cracked out dude who everybody was calling, that's Tweaker Dan. You want to go play pool with Tweaker Dan? It's like, I'm 12. Sure.
Sure, why not? You know.
But that's
what's a tweaker?
One of the coolest experiences ever in my life was being in that.
You need to cherish that.
Yeah, and just sitting down. And Gene Mason was there, too. Oh, really? Remember Gene?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got... we went to... Okay, so I met Gene at this... it was over somewhere... Oh, you know where... was it Neil's?
Yeah.
Neil's. Yeah, we were sitting there having Elvis...
Around Quince, yeah.
They're having an Elvis impersonation night.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And, we went there with Ben Colley, Gene Mason. I think Ruby was there, I can't remember. But anyways, we were sitting outside. I was sitting outside with my mom. Gene Mason comes out, he goes... Man, that guy's got more balls than Hitler. And I guess some lady, okay, he had this lady with him that night. She was from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Writing a book, some crazy book, about how Elvis was the chosen one or something.
Oh, yeah, there's a few of those out there, yeah.
No, but she was following him around. I guess she had paid him $100 to show her around Memphis.
Oh, really?
And that night... He pawned her off onto us. It's like, no, you take her. We didn't even get the money. We didn't even get the money. But man, okay, so I was with another drummer friend of mine way back when from school. His name was Mitchell. And we were all sitting, you know, she had the front seat, my mom, whatever, us in the back seat. And she was just saying the stupidest stuff. I hope she's not listening. Well, I don't care. She knows. She would just say the worst, just weird stuff. And for the whole ride around Memphis that we got, Mitchell would just punch me in the shoulder for every stupid thing she'd say. So I came home
bruised
from Memphis. This whole arm was black.
It's a lot of stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my Gene Mason story.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Has he ever told you that story about being in the plane and stuff like that?
Ben? Oh yeah, when the crash happened.
When the crash happened.
Yeah,
we had a.
I heard the story. I didn't hear from Ben, but I heard the story.
We were sitting on a bench outside Neil's, and he just opened up. He just started just pouring out the story about being in the crash. Now, well, he called his friends, his babies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And talking about how the babies were going down flying. It was just so heart-wrenching and sad.
It's an incredible story.
And to hear it from the guy himself was...
Yeah, that's very special for you to have been a part. That's
cherished
music history right there, and get to hear it firsthand.
And I remember being really young, driving around Madison, Wisconsin, going past Lake Monona.
Oh, yeah.
And I would always look at it and think, because I had this record about, and it was Otis Redding, and it had the story on the back.
Yeah.
And thinking about, oh, their plane went down right there. Right there.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I actually, unknowingly, 10 years later, meet the dude.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's insane. It brings a lot of that home, you know. Especially the fact that there's the human element to it.
Right, and it makes you kind of realize just how small the music world is.
Yeah.
And how tight-knit it is.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, and being in Memphis does that too, though.
It does. The universe gets really small here.
It does.
It's a tough town, but everybody's kind of together, you know. There's not too much backstabbing going on. There's a little bit, but it's not horrible.
Yeah, even the big shots around here, they're... made it in the music business, legends. They just walk around.
Yeah,
they just walk around. Oh, hey, how's it going?
Yeah,
yeah. And you're just like, oh, did I? Just, was that Al Green? What the?
Yeah,
yeah, it was.
There's a lot of humility here.
Yeah,
yeah.
And because of it being a tough town, I think is a lot of that. You know, they don't want to forget their roots.
We're all in the same shitty boat together.
Yes, yes. That's a good way to put it. Welcome to Memphis.
Man, we're really. Bringing up the tourism right now, aren't we?
Well, you know, so what? that's all part of it. Memphis has its vibe. The city wants to paint one picture, and then there's the reality of it.
I think it's really cool like that, though. I mean, I've never been to a place that's been so real.
Oh yeah,
so real.
It's so real. It's painful, really, in some aspects. I mean, we've heard from a lot of the older musicians, and we love having them down here because of what the stories that they tell, and a lot of what happened, you know, from say the mid '60s to now, it really hasn't changed a whole lot,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in some aspects it has, and in other aspects it hasn't,
right? Yeah,
you know, we're all still spinning our wheels here, and it's still a difficult town, musically. And the same thing happens too, that if you call yourself a Memphis musician and you go to Jackson, Tennessee, just up the road, an hour and a half, you're gonna sell out a room,
yeah,
right, yeah. Because you have that title.
Yeah. Memphis musician.
It's
Take this act to Europe someday and watch what happens.
Right. I've had a lot of people, because I work at Schwab's, we get international tourists all the time.
Sure.
And when I had some dude from Germany give me his like home address and number. He was like, if you ever come to Germany, you need to stay at my house.
Yeah.
We'll put you up at this bar. We'll get you gigs. You'll play months and months. You'll be so rich. I'm like, dude, that sounds great. I have $5. Right? Like, get me on a plane right now. I'll live with you and Helga. Sure. Why not? She makes a mean schnitzel, he says.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. This sounds like a great time, if only.
It'll come.
I did have a ship captain offer me a spot on his cargo ship to get over to Europe as so long as I cleaned.
Oh, it would have taken you 6 months to get there, but
yeah. But hey, that would have been a cool story, right?
That is a hell of a story.
Yeah.
Come back with a beard down to your navel and tattoos all over you, you know.
Kyle, what happened?
You don't want to know, man.
That was a dark time. It was a very dark. Don't mention the sea to me again. Brother Boulevard.
That's right. That's the first time anybody's ever said it like that.
Brother Boulevard, kids. You should buy the record once it's made. Which is going to happen.
It is.
What are we doing with you? We're doing like an EP with you? Is that right? Three or four, two, five tunes, maybe six?
Yeah.
Are you going to?
Six. As much as we can get out, we have a selection of songs and some songs that are not yet written. We have a lot. Well, you see.
Brand spanking new tunes, yeah.
We have a lot of cool. You know, kind of lyrics that are, you know, and a lot of cool guitar lines and some cool, you know, vibes and going on. But we just need to connect the dots. And
well, as songwriters, I mean, we were already kind of going to peek into how that works with you guys. You, it sounds to me like you start lyrically.
Well,
do you?
Okay, so Gabe here, he's the drummer, right? But he's
the sketchy one.
He won't. Oh, yeah. He won't let you into this. But he writes some pretty damn good lyrics.
I write bullshit.
Those are the good lyrics. But when they're full of shit, that's
when
really
I'm
good.
Sitting there playing something, he's like, he just kind of spits something out, says something. It's like, man, that sounded awesome. We need to write that down. So we have a lot of these just like one-liners and then guitar riffs. And it's like, okay, we need one.
Those
of
are building
guys.
Blocks.
Well, yeah, and yeah. What we were going to do tonight instead of doing this before you guys called, which, I mean, that's okay, because, I mean.
We just wrecked your night, didn't we?
No, because I. This is
the, there went that big hit, fellas.
We're having a great night.
Right well, good.
Now,
right? No, thank you.
But yeah, that's what we do is we just kind of sit down and like, okay, what do we have in the catalog? Pull out a guitar line. Let's work with this, okay? What words can we put in there? Okay, that kind of works. Then we kind of just spitball ideas back and forth. And what unfortunately typically happens is we write something not very good. Like,
well, that happens.
Well, I mean, in a different sort of way. Like, we like to joke around a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But that's part of the process,
we got,
though.
We got some songs that we've just, like, started off really serious. Okay, let's put something to this. Then we come out with something like a song we like to call Mississippi Love Song. Which
first
I'm
a song we ever written or we ever wrote together,
mm-hmm.
and it is not going on yet.
I don't think we can.
I think
we have a tune called Mississippi Love Song. From like one of the most dangerous bands that ever walked through, Son of Slam, here in Memphis. These guys, they were. Do you remember Son of Slam? These guys were incredible, and the main hook is "I'll F anything that moves."
Oh, dude, that's the same concept. Song.
Then that's probably maybe you heard it and subconsciously started.
Well, what are some of the lyrics, Gabe? He knows all the lyrics.
You don't want me saying that, but
just.
Idea. Well, wait. Give me a moment here, and I'll pull it up. I think it's what it's called. Because there was this band was a thing in the 80s, 90s, somewhere around there.
Yeah, back.
Oh my God! Their album cover was this kid taking a leak in a trailer park. it was
pretty edgy.
Well, it was at the time, and the only copies that you can find on eBay now are like $900.
Really?
Yeah, Mississippi Love Song. Here it is.
Let me change that name.
I'm gonna.
It's never getting published.
I'm gonna play just a little bit of this so you can see what I'm talking about.
Thanks for my 10 wives. One.
Don't go into that. It's about the hook. Hang on. Yeah, that's pretty intense, isn't it? This isn't blues, clearly.
No.
When I get drunk, I fuck anything that moves. When I get drunk, sometimes.
Is this. Did y'all write that?
No. Pretty close. I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, well.
In concept.
Well, okay, so not.
So, like, what? Yeah, but it's okay. Gonna.
Now, that was some serious rock and roll, clearly.
I mean, you replace the F word with rub or love.
Well, yes. But
love, I guess.
But I guess there's something about the words Mississippi Love Song that just evokes this sort of, I don't know, angst that you fellas seem to have fallen right into.
No, it wasn't angsty. All right, so. To give it context, this was the first.
Oh, God,
song.
Here we go.
No, hear me out.
There was this night in Harmontown, Rick, I swear to God. She said she was a woman.
No. This was the first time I had ever had whiskey. I was over at his house. We stole a bottle from his mom. She doesn't know about that, so.
Hi, Eva.
Hi, Eva.
She does now.
And
it's okay. She lives 800 miles away.
That's okay. Yeah, it's just
fine. And he started playing, and I said the first thing that came to my head, which. To give you the censored version, is I'm going to run out to the field and love myself a cow. And he made me write a whole song.
There's out some of clever that. Lines in that song. A one and a two.
That's very clever, yeah.
I run to the stream and love myself a fish. Something, something, because a fish is what I wish. There's a breakdown. A one and a two. A red and a blue. That's what old Seuss told me to do. It's clever, right?
That is very clever.
Right.
That's maybe there's a whole niche here. This could be adult blues, you know.
Well, we
you
have
know.
Some...
I don't want
to... A catalog of wildly offensive songs.
There's nothing really wrong with that, per se. I mean,
oh, no, that's pretty tame.
That's how we got our start, was basically right. him just playing
well,
yeah, music and me just bullshitting with
well,
lyrics.
Well, we would write comedy songs. Actually, basically. When we were in high school, we'd sit in the band room, and we had these kind of like off rooms that we used for practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd sit in there and just write these comedy songs.
No, that wasn't the first song we wrote.
Was it?
My penis is a snare drum. That's you remember right. that one?
I do remember that one.
Well, that's interesting.
Freshman year of high school, in case you couldn't tell.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, that's no, you're right.
A year before sophomore humor. You're familiar with Hokum music, right?
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Pretty much.
They've been doing it, you know, since the 20s and the 30s, yeah. if not before then. I mean.
Yeah, no, we. There's some that.
Some that will never get finished, never mind published.
Never get mentioned again. There's seven.
There's certain crimes
you know
have
what,
been committed.
There's one that you can actually find.
Oh,
a little
that,
bit
of yours?
A snippet yeah. that we wrote. It's called 17 Guys.
Which won't be played on Radio Memphis tonight, I don't think.
It's not. There's no offensive
it's
language.
It's a double entendre. Really, right? Is that what that's
well,
called? A euphemism?
No, we never finished the song.
We never finished the song. It's really only comedic in the first
Your mother place. Would be so proud.
No, she's heard that. She liked it.
Well, she just shared it again on Facebook for some
Did
reason.
Did she really?
Yeah, because yeah. we wrote it and messed around with it Thanksgiving 2 years ago.
Ah,
yeah.
So it must have popped up in her Facebook thing. She's like, oh, that's funny. Let's share that.
Well, on that then, before I grab a break, how about a tune from you guys?
Yeah, sure. We'll
I mean, right. whatever you guys want to do that's, you know...
Radio appropriate?
It doesn't matter if it's radio appropriate. It's what's ever Brother Boulevard appropriate.
Yeah. We'll do... Hold on.
Well, there you go. Well, that's what happens when you drop it.
Right?
Boy, you knocked the hell out of it, didn't you?
I did. I did something.
Don't feel bad. I watched Earl the Pearl Banks drop a guitar once. It was over at the house in Midtown. He just picked it up off the floor and continued to play. And it may have been out of tune, but he knew how to play around it.
I love when you go to like Clarksdale, Mississippi, and see all the old guys play, and their guitars are just way out of tune.
To you, they are.
But it sounds good.
Well, right? Yeah, because that's the poor man's copyright. How can you steal a tune if you don't know what tuning it is? Well, it happens. We can take it out in the parking lot and beat it for a while if that'll help.
It might.
There it is.
Woo!
What is this?
John the Revelator.
John the Revelator. Give me some more guitar.
Yeah, turn that guitar off. This is John.
There you go.
Well, tell me who's that writing? It's John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing? It's John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing? It's John the Revelator. Wrote the book
of the seventh seal.
Well, tell me what's John writing about the Revelator. Tell me what's John writing about the Revelator. What's John writing? Well, wrote the book of the seven seals. You know, Christ walked down in the cool of day and called Adam by his name. But he refused to answer, Lord, because he was naked and ashamed. Well, tell me who's that writing? It's John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seals.
What's John writing about the river? What's John writing? Well, tell me what's John writing about the river. Later wrote the book of the seven seals. You know, Christ had 12 apostles. Three he led away. He said, watch for me in just 1 hour while I go to the river to pray. Well, tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator, tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator, what's John writing about the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seals. John the Revelator, oh, oh, John the Revelator, John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seals, wrote the book of the seven seals, yeah, wrote the book of the seven seals.
That's all right. John the Revelator.
That's right.
Brother Boulevard is who it is. It sounds all right.
Sounds all right.
It sounds all right.
Sounds okay.
It sounds good. It doesn't suck.
Doesn't suck.
I'm talking about the name of the band.
It's okay.
It's okay. It'll work. It'll work.
It'll work. It was pretty much okay. We were like, you know, let's get together and do something, Gabe. Let's, you know,
that's not
like,
how it went at all.
Well, it's like, well, let's play. Well, it's a dramatization, as they say in the commercials.
What happened is you told me we were doing a duo.
Well, I was like, yeah, okay. I was like, okay. Yeah, yeah. I was like, Gabe, what we're doing a duo. I want you to play drums. I need you to play drums. He's like, okay. And we're gonna go as Kyle Roberts. We're like, well, that's kind of unfair, right? I'm not the whole band. It's
most of it.
So
it's just most of it? There's two of you? How does he get most of it?
Yeah, it's like, it's 50-50. Come on, buddy. But pretty much, it was like, well, and I was like, well, we need a name. And we had been messing around with band names because it's just a fun pastime.
Well, sure it is.
You know, like, that'd be a cool band name. And we were like, well, you know, why don't we just use that Brother Boulevard thing we were talking about a long time ago? Let's just use it. Screw it. Why not? Right.
Works for me.
It has a decent ring to it. It's easily marketable.
Sure.
Right. I mean, we're not brothers and we don't live on Brother Boulevard. But sure.
No, it has absolutely nothing to do with us.
Then it works for me.
Exactly. Because you don't know that.
I don't care.
Steven, he doesn't know that. You don't know
as long
that,
as you don't suck, what do we exactly. care, right?
That's the whole point.
We don't.
Yeah.
Not at all. I'm going to throw you into the fire right now with another tune.
Right. So you guys were talking about the holidays, right?
Yes.
They were talking about Christmas songs. They only got me thinking. And remind
you. Are you going to do a damn Christmas song? Are you really?
But there's a story to it.
Okay. What's the story?
It's the most half-assed Christmas blues song you'll ever hear.
All right. I'm in. I'm there. You know.
I had to do. Okay. So I went up north to Wisconsin to do a televised Christmas special.
Really?
Yeah, it was a great honor. It was for the Boys and Girls Club up there. They paid for my travel and whatnot. It was a good time. We recorded two songs, and I hate Christmas songs.
I'm with you.
I despise Christmas songs. And
you know Zeke Johnson, right?
Yeah.
What he says about Christmas music is that at its best, it's torture.
Yeah.
And then at its worst, it is just beyond insufferable. Beyond. It's just beyond.
Exactly. So I was like, why?
It's children's music, yeah.
I was riding up there back in my mom's car. I was like, why did I say yes to this? Why did I say no? I've been there, I could have said no. I said yes because I'm a nice person. I'll do it. It's for a good cause.
Sure.
And they really want me over there. So, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And I had like a good month to figure out what I was going to play. And I kept putting
plenty
it off,
of time.
Putting it off. Putting it off. I hate Christmas songs. Putting it off until the day of the show. The day of. The day of.
No pressure.
Driving.
Yeah, no pressure.
Driving to the recording station to do this, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was like, okay, I'll do Mailman because I'm going to be recording that song soon. It's relevant to me.
Yeah.
But then I changed the lyric to like the first lyric in the song's Mailman brought me a letter this morning. I went, Santa Claus brought me a letter this morning.
Was that the only change you made?
That's the only change I made.
Awesome. Because I know the song Mailman. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then
it's lovely and dark.
And then I was like, they're like, okay, well, I started off with this half-ass blues song. I didn't know what I was going to play at all. Knew nothing. They're like, okay, so what's the first song going to be? Because they were kind of like getting levels when I was like, okay, I remember I thought about it. We'll call it Blues Christmas Blues 1.
Blues Christmas Blues 1.
And they're like,
who's okay, this drunken bastard?
Okay, how does it go?
Yeah.
And then I just like, okay, I'm just going to play something and just sing words. Like, it's... And they loved it. It was my biggest accomplishment. It's just half-ass.
You pulled something out of your ass and you made it happen.
Out of my ass and it sounded halfway decent and sounded like it was sort of planned. Like, I was like, yeah, it was supposed to sound like that.
You accomplished the goal.
Yeah,
you accomplished a goal. Yeah, you just really checked that off the list.
What really kills me is... I mean, a lot of people, they gave me a list of, like, because at first I asked them, okay, what songs can I do for one? They have to be original or traditional Christmas songs for copyright reasons. And they gave me a list of all these traditional Christmas songs, Jingle Bells.
Yeah, whatever.
You get the whole.
Yeah, we all know what
they're playing it on the river right now.
Yes. Yeah. Since Thanksgiving.
And I was like, well, I'm not doing any of those. Because everybody else is going to be doing those, and I don't really care to do those. And what really kills me is, I did Mailman, and they loved it.
Mailman's dark, dude.
I know, and that's what kills me. It's like, this is supposed to be a happy Christmas get-together special. They're having, like, a red carpet showing and stuff. And in the middle of, like, God rest the merry gentlemen and... Good King Wenceslas is going to be...
And then here's your ass up there singing that.
it just kills
me. Were you the headline of this whole thing?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just all like egalitarian.
Well, let's hear it then.
Yeah, well, we're going to do...
I feel like I should come clean. I've never heard this song before. So let's see how this goes.
Oh, you haven't heard this?
Nope.
Oh, you'll be fine.
No, I've only ever done this once.
Oh, this will be fine.
But it just got me. You guys were talking about Christmas songs. Like, I should do that.
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Is that loud enough?
A little more. You can go a little more.
A little more?
Yeah, you can go a little more. That Gretsch has a little soft sound to it, but it's nice. There you go. There you go. There you go.
All right. Christmas, baby, you know I need you right here by my side. Well, Merry Christmas, baby, we know I need you right here by my side.
You know I need you right here, right now. To dry my eyes, lonely eyes. Baby, I hope I'll be seeing you soon. Well, Merry Christmas, baby. We know I hope I'll be seeing you soon. No, there ain't no gift Santa will bring me. That'll be as good as you.
You did the Rolling Stones ending on that. Just stop. Yeah, just stop. Yeah,
just stop.
Just
stop.
And it works.
But yeah, right. It's. I love that. It's got almost nothing to do with Christmas other than a few lines.
Yeah.
Like it's just the.
Well, you
most,
can set it anywhere, really.
Yeah, it's just
you can make
the
it
most,
an Easter song if you,
you
wanted
could.
To. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Happy Easter, baby.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy yeah. Halloween, baby.
I just, it's just
I'm going to
so
stab you in the neck.
Stupidly
you know.
Universal. It's almost just
painful.
Because
it was just a simple 8-bar blues.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it was.
It's almost painful in a way that it works so well.
Almost painful in a way. Well, you know, your approach is, it, well, is quite frankly rather fresh. It's not formulaic at all.
It's not?
Well, musically, maybe, but lyrically, it isn't.
No, it's kind of clashy.
Well, sure. It's
Merry Christmas, baby. You know I need you by... It's like two different songs, like...
Well, sure. It's the way you blend it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I...
Well, your mother just said that she's a proud mama right here. Of course, she wrote it in all caps.
She's high.
She's high as hell.
Hey, Mom, how you doing? You should be in the studio.
Oh,
you,
God,
Eva.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Should tell all the stories.
Oh, we need to bring her down here sometime.
Oh, no, you really should. She might be fun. She can
oh, she'd be a
days.
Blast. Oh, we can handle anything down here. You know, when you get the record done and you're ready to do the release, make sure that she comes down here and she can stay right here.
She's actually moving down here.
Is she going to move to Memphis?
She's got an offer on her house up in Wisconsin. They're closing on it at the end of December.
Oh, yeah.
Well, December 14th, actually.
Oh, right on.
Not too long after we'll be recording here.
Fantastic.
Right? So it's... She might be down here by the time you guys.
She might be crashing
out
on your couch for a while, as much as
yeah. Maybe with two dogs and another
bunch
person.
Of degenerate musicians over there. It'll be fun.
Two other. Well, yeah, we got my mom's
well, he's not moving down yet, but, and she's got somebody staying with her named Georgia. She's mom too.
Yeah. So yeah, we saw Georgia earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll both be coming. And we had that fun a few weeks ago. They, when they came to pick me up to go up to Wisconsin to do the Christmas special, they stayed for a night or two. I think it was a night at first, and they came back and stayed for a few days.
Yeah.
It was actually a pretty good time, but man, those dogs.
Not like a week.
Made it feel like a whole week.
They can make it a house full,
Well, they get pissed off at each other, right? Mm. One's like a lab, and one's this German Shepherd Bass Hound mix. His name's Uh-Oh, because he looks like a German Shepherd.
Uh-Oh is the name of it?
But like his legs are this, like they're 2 inches, 3 inches.
Like a
corgi. He looks like a logging accident, is the reasoning behind the name.
He looks like a logging accident.
Like, oh, shit, Uh-Oh.
That's why you got the name Uh-Oh.
Uh-Oh, yeah. SpaghettiOs, you know? So,
a dog that looked like a logging
accident. Yeah, he looks awful.
That's hysterical. That poor bastard, he can't help that.
Boy. People laugh at him all the time. It's hilarious. But yeah, no, they get pissed off at each other. So we had to separate them. We have like 2 rooms in our apartment. Only 2 rooms almost. We have the living room, the bedroom, and there's the bathroom. The bathroom's like half a room. Yeah, but that's kind of like it's the same. The kitchen's in the living room pretty much.
I got you, yeah.
So we had to have one dog in our bedroom at night. And they don't sleep. Something about labs. They don't sleep.
Yeah.
It's like he was on drugs. I had a drug dog, drugged mom.
They take after their owners, that's for sure. Yeah.
It's great. Great time.
Big time. Brother Boulevard in the studio.
Ooh. Right here.
Eva says,
uh-oh.
What's the difference between a guitar and a fish? You
that?
Can't tune a fish. She is high as hell.
She is.
God love you, Eva.
Love her.
Love her to death. And she's moving to Memphis. That's going to be great.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world's not, this town ain't ready for that.
Well, somebody has taken over her account and said that your mom can't talk straight because of the surgery. So she's trying. She sounds like a drunken sailor.
Yeah. Probably accurate, yeah.
Well, when she moves to Memphis, she'll have a home right here. Yeah, she'll fit right in.
It'll be... Sit in the alleyways behind Beale Street. She'll blend.
We're not going to do that to that poor woman. That would not be right. That would
be really funny.
No, it would not be funny. I've been to the back alleys of Beale Street, and you don't want to do that to anybody. Fellas, thank you so much.
Thank you for
popping
that's
in.
Great, man.
Thank you.
I know it was a short notice thing for you.
Okay.
And it was probably a little premature because of you got a record that's going to go into production here fairly quick. So
we're
looking forward to that.
I am, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of good.
December 12th.
Be rehearsed before you come in.
Yes, of course.
Well, it'll save some money.
No matter the amount of pressure something puts upon us, we're always at least prepared for it. No matter the means of how we came to be prepared.
And it's just the two of you guys, right?
Yep. Just the two of us.
Have you thought about adding a bass player? No, you know, I don't mean to be offensive at all, but
we have. We've thought about it. We've talked about it. It's just that
you want a guy for the session. We can make that happen.
Maybe we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, we can talk.
But it's just for performing and writing, it's hard to include another person because we have a system, right? That is
system's
it's,
a strong
yeah,
word.
Yeah, it's very
system is a strong
it's
word.
It's very sporadic, right? So it's hard to get other people to really gel with it. And we've worked with it in past bands we've been in where it's just we do our own thing, right?
Right.
But when we try to incorporate what we do into like with another person or someone tries to come in,
you'd be surprised. We've heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you know,
this isn't unique.
It's not, well, yeah, it is, but no, it's not. Yeah. You know, the process still remains the same. It's
I think the real answer to this is really hard to find the right person to fit into the schedule.
Sure.
Too. So.
Yeah.
But we've definitely thought about it.
Bass players are a rare commodity right
they
here.
Are. Mm-hmm.
Because they're all working.
Oh,
that's right. Everybody needs one.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone needs one.
Absolutely. On that, how about another tune to send everybody home?
Yes, okay. So we talked about this song right when we started.
It's another one of them culture tunes of yours, is it?
It's another Christmas song, right?
No, it's not. I didn't say Christmas. I said culture. Culture.
Alright, this one is Mailman.
Mailman. Yeah, that's this is a good one. Yeah, hell yeah.
I actually moved the single closer so I'll hit it this time.
Move it around.
Mom said you ain't coming around here anymore. Well, said you couldn't carry on, all that precious love you had was gone. Well, well, I ain't through with you, but you're through with me, so I'm heading back to Tennessee. Oh well. Boy, you cannot hide. Oh well. My train's pulling in about a quarter to three. Oh well. I know God'll see what I'm gonna do, so I guess tonight I'll meet the devil too. Oh well. Your heart with a bullet hole, be the first you'll see and the last you'll know. Oh well. When I'm through with you, you know your family'll get a letter too. Oh well. Oh well. Oh well. Well, next train I ride, I'll see you in hell. Well,
yes, sir. Very nice.
Thank you.
That's the mailman right there.
Thank you very much.
Kyle Roberts, Gabriel Brown, they are Brother Boulevard.
Yes, sir.
I love it. We're going to see you guys again here in a few weeks off air, but in that room.
In there.
That's right. It'll be fun. It'll be a big time. Jason will treat you right. And
hopefully so.
I think it'll be good.
Does he wear gloves when he touches us?
No. He doesn't work like that.
That's how I like it.
No. Sorry. It's just not how that works. Seriously, you guys sound great.
Thank you so much.
I'm very proud of you two, and I think you guys got something.
Thanks. So, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys do in the studio and be able to bring it out there to the world. And
yeah.
We talked about some stuff off the air, too. I think it's got some legs.
Yeah,
we're here to help out.
Got some legs.
Yeah.
Look at them gams.
Yeah, look at them gams. It's a nice dish with the great gams over there. Eh?
What the hell happened to gams?
I don't know, but we should bring it back.
Well, we did it right here, right now.
Yeah, we
right
sure here. Did. Yeah, and everybody's going, "What the hell are y'all talking about? Y'all need to shut up." good job, fellas.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to the new record, as I mentioned. And you got anything coming up? You got any shows? You got anything?
Not right yet.
Working on it.
We're working on it.
Oh, I know you are.
Yeah. That's what we're kind of hoping to do with this record. Is kind of have something to show for it when we go up to people.
Right.
Like, hey, this is what we do.
Online, is there anything that people need to...
Yes, absolutely. You can go to Kyle Roberts-Musician, and then you'll find me, and we're working on...
On Facebook.
That's on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, on Facebook.
You need to go to Facebook and type that in, and you'll find me and all the stuff I do, and we're currently putting together all of our Brother Boulevard stuff. And
right.
To get that all ready and set up before we go, you know...
Full bore. Yeah.
Yeah, we even had a photo shoot.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah. We did.
A friend of ours is a photographer.
Yeah.
She lives next across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all didn't do the railroad track thing, did
you?
No, of course not. You didn't do the brick wall thing, did you?
Well, for one of them. That's just because we live next to a brick wall.
Yeah, well, I get it.
We got some pretty basic photos done because we realized we didn't have anything with us together.
Well, yeah.
So we needed something.
Maybe recreate a murder scene or something. I
really like the patio scene.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
reminds me of a '60s album.
There's some cool shots in there. But yeah, no. Other than that, you look me up, Kyle Roberts Blues, on YouTube. You can find me there.
See some stuff. Yeah,
I got some stuff on SoundCloud. It's mostly personal kind of instrumental stuff that I do in my spare time.
Yeah,
little projects here and there.
Yeah.
No, you can find all that stuff there. We're always doing something. We try to post it somewhere when it happens. So you on most social media platforms, you put in Kyle Roberts, Blues or Musician, whatever, and you'll probably find me.
Good. Good. You'll
probably find me.
And when you get the Brother Boulevard stuff all set up, make sure and tag that back. And
In about probably a day or two. For those of you who are listening to this in the future, you could probably go on your computer right now and look up Brother Boulevard, and after an extensive search, you can probably find us.
Uh-huh.
One with, like, 3 likes.
Yeah. So make sure you like that. Your number's up.
It just takes a little bit of time, but it'll all come up.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have got something, and I'm mighty proud to have you here, and, you know, thank you for coming in.
We're glad to be here. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Mark, thank you so much for making that happen.
Marcus.
Yeah, the best, Mark.
Yeah. You know, our thoughts to Chris Pitts and his family. I know they're dealing with a little bit of a situation. Hopefully, it'll all turn out well, as I think it probably will. We'll get them rebooked at another time. Who do we have next week? Do we know?
This is gonna be fun. You've got
Robert Allen Parker.
Yeah, he is gonna come in. And, you know, he did a partial show, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did like an hour, maybe, if that.
Yeah. He'll be here all next week, whole time.
With a band, or is it just him?
No, it's talking about him, but also he's been in the studio. He'll be talking about his new record, too.
Yeah, because we got the one that he just did, and then he's...
This new record sounds really cool.
Okay.
It's going to be fun.
Robert Allen Parker is a great guy. Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So that's next week here on the Booze and Blues, so... Well, fellas, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Eva, good night, honey.
She's sleep single, well. Rick. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I'm not.
If you know anybody.
I know people.
Yeah, there you go.
Um, Somebody under her name wrote, so basically you need mom to make you another web page. Mom would be great to do your web page tonight.
No.
There you go.
I mean,
you know what? It might be good if she does the butterball.
All full of clonopin and ready to rock.
Yes, that might be pretty awesome.
It would be big.
You know, made under the influence of gin and clonopin.
There's a website you need to go to once you're done here, whenever you have free time, called lingscars.com.
Oh, yes.
Lane's Cars.
L-I-N-G-S.
I've seen this. It was on Reddit, I think it was. Yes,
it would be just like that.
A complete catastrophe.
Everybody, for reference, go to www.lingscars.com.
L-I-N-G-S-Cars.com, yes.
Free push
for them. It's worth it. It's a lot of fun.
Ain't gonna cost you nothing.
No, it doesn't cost you nothing. No, you don't have to buy anything from him. And I wouldn't, but such as it is.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Daniel Gales is here in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right, I think, man.
Today is your birthday.
It is. Actually, my birthday is on the 4th, but I'm celebrating it on tonight.
Well, good for you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. You understand me? Yay. What's going on, Rick? Cheese
the
Blues and Blues?
You know, we're just, you know, playing the blues, hanging out here with you.
Yeah.
And Sing a Bee is here.
What you say is. We're going to do some things.
We're going to do some stuff here, and there's somebody on the phone.
Ooh, my brother.
Your brother.
Is my brother doing so good? Watch this out.
Well, there he is right there. Eric, how are you, sir?
Hey, man. How y'all doing, man? Glad y'all got me on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on and being on the program here with us. And I know you're a busy guy. You're going to be here pretty soon.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Well, there you go. You heard what's coming up next time here on the program. Daniel Gales was in the studio. It was fun. We had his brother, Eric, you know, Eric Gales, one of the greatest guitarists ever. He's a living legend. We had him on the phone as well for a brief conversation. He was pipping a gig will have already happened. Well, I guess, I don't know, I have to look at the calendar. And a true record store sommelier, if you will, Robert Allen Parker, is a great musician as well. We'll hear some of his music. He's got a brand new record out. We'll hear some of the stories. It's all of that. That's coming up next time right here from Radioland. So there you go, kids. I'm done. I'm out of here. I got places to go. I got some trouble to stir up. I'm cold. It's cold in the studio. I need to put my hoodie back on. It's one of those things that I get into and I don't get out. I'm cold. I just don't like this cold weather. And I think it's all in my head because I'm sitting here thinking, God, I hate it when it's cold. And it's been raining down here too. So it's been wet and cold. And those are the two worst combinations for me, for the weather. I'm not a fan of that. Don't know really who is, but nevertheless, I'm going to go warm up, go stand in front of a fire somewhere. Y'all be sweet. We'll see y'all next time. Okay. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. Okay. I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.